Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving
Crime. Hello! Hello! Oh. It's the second show. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Everybody's hammered. Thank you so much. I decided to go for them. I cannot walk in them. My feet are killing me, but it's worth it. It's worth it. This is also a new jumpsuit. I'm just going to talk about me now. And I had to buy it because guess what it was called? It was called the Taylor.
Oh.
I know, and it was like 80% off. Oh, my God. Exactly.
We love bargains. We love bargains.
Exactly. So have you guys had a nice break? Very good, very good. Have you met anybody new? Have you made any friends?
No.
No. Sarah's like our number one fan. She's like, no, fuck that.
Yeah. No new people. We're full.
I'm not here to mingle. But you are well on board with the cock ring stuff, so thank you. I won't forget that. And we are Greyhound sisters. We both are in love with Greyhounds and have them now tattooed on our bodies as well. Hooray. That was just for us. How are you guys? Hannah, how you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm just... Greyhound sisters sounds like a sex thing.
I don't know what it is.
I feel like something. I don't know.
You put your snoots together and just see what happens. Have you gotten a report from home? Is everything all right?
No, we sort of just said like... Yeah, I mean, not... No, everything's
no,
awful.
No, it's
all
disaster.
Gone to shit. She's... No, we sort of just said, you know, call
Did
me if
Did you agree
a
no?
Yeah,
that's smart.
No news is good news.
No news is good news, absolutely.
Oh, so my God, thought, you've already cracked parenthood. Like, Just do the please don't
tell
me. It's
funny, my favorite thing was the other day. Well, we've been having weird dreams. Like, Toby woke up the other day and was like, I dreamt that Lil was a traitor. So that's lots of things are kind of going, we're watching a lot of telly. And I had a dream that she was still a baby, but she was speaking to me. She could speak in full sentences. She's very advanced. And she said to me, she just looked at me and she just went, she only said one thing. And she just said, give me what I want. What
wow.
does that mean? I mean,
if baby
the baby
can talk,
MO.
It is, isn't it? It's just...
That's terribly accurate. Thank fuck they can't talk when they come out, because it's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
So hungry.
Yeah. Oh, looks like a turd, that. Yeah. Sorry.
I assume that your baby would have that sort of deep voice because you both have sort of...
Yes.
Deep, but when she starts talking, it's been great. She's been like, hello, like Barry White.
Toby's mum said that when he was a baby, he would go, wah, wah.
That's brilliant. Little foghorn baby.
Oh, the poor thing. And then he must have just gotten like laughter and now he's so confused psychologically.
Oh. Yes, I mean, that's an accurate description.
Sometimes it's just serious. And Katie, how are you? How was your break? I mean,
I'm
I was there,
good.
I saw it, we talked.
It
but
was,
still.
I had a bit of fun and I'm also assuming my home is fine.
It's nice. You just don't want to know.
It's like, yeah. Why interrupt this?
Absolutely, absolutely. It really is so good to be back. We have very much missed performing. Thanks, Hannah. The world needed another human, but all right.
Another awesome human. Awesome. The world needs way more awesome humans. So if you are awesome, have some kids.
They do. All right. So just quickly to make sure we remember where we are, what is Drunk Women Solving Crime? Help me out on this. Well, it is a true crime podcast with a twist
of crime.
Thank you very much. Extra points for enthusiasm. Shall we bring on our guest?
Oh, please.
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Can't wait for this episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please welcome to the stage comedian and host of the podcast, Namaste Motherfuckers. It's Callie Beaton!
Yeah! Callie!
Here she comes!
Welcome!
She's still coming, and
Hi, there she is! Hello!
There's
a lot of strong Bob action going on the stage, isn't there? I know it's an audio podcast, but a lot
for
of good
Bobs. For the listeners,
Bobs.
There's three Bobs.
Three Bobs. Yeah, you'll have a Bob soon, don't worry. You will. It's coming for you.
She has started to grab, like, she's just giving me nipple cripples at the moment. That's her.
From Bobs to nipple cripples.
Oh, my
new
goodness.
Parenting book.
Yeah, and Katie's gone to the dark side. She's a brunette now.
Gone.
I think she is owning that.
Thank you, one person.
Callie, we always start the podcast with the same question.
Yes.
And that question is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I'm glad you asked, because yes, I have.
Okay.
So I lived in Amsterdam for a few years when I was in my early 20s.
Okay.
And I didn't know this at the time, but this is par for the course. This is a crime that everyone in Amsterdam will suffer at some point. Might not be going where you think I'm going.
Okay.
So I left my bike outside like a shop, ran into a shop, didn't lock it to it. I locked it, but I didn't lock it to anything immovable. I just locked it to itself. Came out. I know, hindsight, always 2020. I locked it firmly to itself. And I came out of the shop and after 30 seconds, and it was gone. And I was like, how can this be? And everyone was like, no, you have to like lock it like five times to a bridge and a horse and a load of tulips, and otherwise it will get stolen. So the bike had been stolen, and I was like heartbroken, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do? No mobile phones in those days, because I'm not 20 anymore. So it was quite a long time ago. And anyway, and I was like, oh, and so I started walking home, and then after about 20 minutes, I saw a bike that wasn't completely fully locked.
No.
So I rode it home. So, you know, they say, like, you pay a good deed forward. I paid a crime forward. So that was in the 90s. I'd like to think that ever since there have been bikes just getting stolen, parcels stolen. So, yeah, I lost a bike and stole a bike all in the space of an hour.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I look like such a nice lady, don't I?
No, so, I kind of love it.
You didn't
it.
See that coming, did you?
I really didn't. I like it. It's a good feedback loop of crime.
Yes.
I must ask, was it a nicer bike than you lost?
Yes.
Was it?
The one I lost had those pedals that they have in Holland. Anyone who's visited, you have, and you have to pedal backwards to stop. Which is so as a Brit, where we tend
I
to
had
have
that
the
as
hand,
a kid.
Yeah, we have to have the kind of handbrake. So I never got that. I used it. My way of getting safely across the, you know, when those little humpback bridges would be just to shout, "I can't stop," which I would shout it in both languages, and then usually, so that was my braking mechanism. Yeah,
can she I made ask, that up. After you'd ridden this bike, presumably home, did you then return it to the universe, or did you keep it?
I'd love to say I returned it to the universe, but I might have kept it.
Because it was better, right?
Do you mean like throw it in a canal? Is that what returning it to the universe?
No, just like you could be like, oh, I have the gift of spotting this one's not locked.
And that's how lime bikes were invented.
Yeah.
Because
they used to have free white bikes in Holland. They would have these bikes that you literally picked up and dropped, but that had just stopped happening.
Oh.
Probably because people like me were stealing them, respraying them, keeping them in a basement. So no, I did keep the bike, but then that bike got stolen. Stolen at some point, and
oh wow,
yeah, it's a very
okay.
So yeah. That one got stolen from
yeah.
you.
Yeah, well, a lot of bikes get stolen in Amsterdam.
See,
there are more bikes than people.
I don't like.
That
I don't understand.
Right, but
the market. Yes, sorry. I must say this.
My octave.
How do people still need bikes when there's that many bikes? Surely the market is saturated and no one gives a shit. Like. Doesn't everyone just have a bike if there's more bikes than people?
Yeah, everyone does have a bike, but bikes still seem to... I mean, there are still people selling bikes and nicking
bikes. Oh, it's a hierarchy of bikes.
Hierarchy of bikes.
Fine.
Maslow's hierarchy of
bikes. I'm back in. I understand why it's a crime.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I hope you never get murdered, because my God... What would you get up to next?
I always have every podcast I come on, they say, I hope you never get murdered. I hope that's the vibe from the hosts always.
we wish that. We wish that of all our guests, but
it's
especially
very good of you.
Especially
thank
you. I just had this really idyllic view of Amsterdam, and I had no idea that bike theft was a thing there. And it's
did
just
you
crushed.
Have an idea? It's just there's things that happen in Amsterdam. Bad like people do bad things.
Amsterdam is not famous
Amsterdam.
For the idyllicness.
And it's also you guys with this podcast because it's an absolute hotbed of crime. Like there's, I mean, so much
every
like
type
proper,
of crime.
Yeah, there's so many, and there's books written like that lovely book, The Goldfinch, about you know fine art crime, but lots of proper
organized
crime.
Yes, fine art crime, I'm sure.
And all
but
sorts
petty,
of crime.
Petty bike theft, I say.
Yes, and it was. Skilled
they've got everything.
Don't you underestimate it.
I love that you locked it to itself because I actually did that once in London, like the first time I tried to lock my bike, and luckily it wasn't stolen somehow, but I would have deserved it 100%.
Yeah, thank you. That's so, yeah, that was my crime. I did a crime was the victim of a crime all within an hour.
Well, it's funny because we always ask, what would you say to the perpetrator? But I'm not sure if that's you.
I would say set your standards for a better bike because I got a better bike. I was
nice.
A better criminal. So,
nice.
Yeah, within an hour, I outwitted my criminal. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, my God, you could give, like, a motivational TED Talk, like, crime, pay it forward.
Listen.
A Callie Beaton.
Like, that just
good,
sounds like you're girl-bossing crime.
Yes.
Yeah. Imagine if I go and set up a rival podcast, crime, pay it forward, and suddenly it's good. I'm
going to
steal
you.
Your podcast.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah, everybody was like, please don't do that. We love this podcast.
Thank you so much for sharing that tale. I did not see that coming.
No.
But I'm going to watch my bag in the green room now. It's good to have a heads up. Right, you guys, are we ready to solve some true crime?
Yes, please.
Yeah!
Shall we? I mean, you've seen how capable we are already. But second show is when we really, really come to life. So our case basically begins with a woman called Tonda Dickerson.
That's a strong start.
It's a strong start.
It's very strong.
I've started
Dutch.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, Dickerson.
Yeah.
I'm going to
say
to my mother-in-law that I Dickerson. No, it doesn't work.
Oh.
No, I got halfway through. No. And she listens to this, so hello if you're if you're listening. We did it once and hated it and had a baby.
What's great is that at your wedding, one of Toby's aunts came up to my sister-in-law and said, well, I've never listened to the podcast. I've heard it's raunchy.
Oh!
Did she?
5 stars.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, but I love that she was saying to that somebody at her wedding, like, you don't know Hannah, do you? Like, great stuff. Dickerson. Who knew so much would happen just from Tonda Dickerson? Okay, so Tonda, picture this. She's in her late 20s. She's married to her second husband, and she works as a waitress at a Waffle House restaurant. So your first question is, in which U.S. state does this case take place?
Alabama from
you. Okay, says a very North American accent from the back.
The Waffle House is a song by the Jonas Brothers that I enjoy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it, Hannah?
I do enjoy it. enjoy it. It comes up occasionally on Spotify. Aww. I'm like, yeah, I'd like to go to a Waffle House. And like, it's my guilty pleasure. Literally, as soon as you leave, get on Spotify, Waffle House, Jonas Brothers. So okay. Where are your Jonas Brothers from?
Well, where are they from? Yeah.
Anyone? Yeah. Big Jonas gals in?
They're from somewhere. I'm going to say Bible Belt. Where is it?
Well, it's a whole belt.
Tennessee.
South Carolina, we're really throwing the South right under the bus here.
I'm going to say Pennsylvania.
We've got Georgia. That sounded like a man's voice. I'm going to go with that. Thank you, man.
The authority.
Georgia.
We are a feminist podcast.
That is called the authority gap.
So we've got Georgia from the man, so Hannah believes it. We've got Pennsylvania.
I'm going Pennsylvania because I've heard the expression Pennsylvania Dutch. And I feel like waffles are Dutch.
Oh, yes. We keep going back to Dutch,
although I don't think that the Amish make waffles.
No, but they do make something called funnel cakes, which are a delightful fried delicacy. If you ever find yourself in Amish country. I'm from PA.
And you're from Pennsylvania.
Yes,
I am. Go Steelers.
Go Steelers, exactly.
That's not for you, Kelly.
No, I'm... Okay, shame.
That's a football team.
I hear what I want to hear, okay?
Kelly pickpocket somebody. Okay. What do you reckon, Kelly? What state?
I'm just going to go Texas, because...
Texas.
Why not? They have guns, pancakes, music, they have it all.
There's waffles everywhere. Come on, where is it?
True. Do you know what? It was Alabama.
Oh!
Very well done. Can I just... And I'm not encouraging audience participation in any way. It's on my terms, but what, are you from Alabama?
I went to school in Alabama.
Did you? How Ooh. Funny. So you know all about Waffle Houses. Nice.
She may be familiar with this case.
She might be familiar. You might be. Just keep quiet.
Yes.
Maybe. But fun fact. So my parents used to live in Alabama, and I lived there for a summer because that's all I could take. But there's so many Waffle Houses there that literally down the road from them, there's a double highway, and there was one Waffle House that faced another Waffle House.
Oh, wow.
On the other side, you could see the Waffle House from the window. I know, because I went to both of them to try them out. They're exactly the same.
This is like bikes in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It is a little bit.
Did they have the same caliber of waffles? Or was there...
Exactly. Shitty. Really shitty. Again, sorry to throw...
You can't have too many shit waffles in one high street.
It's really upsetting because they're called Waffle House and their waffles are just...
In Holland, the waffles are very good.
Are they?
Yeah, heel lekker. Lekkere waffles.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I only know, I don't know how to say it, the strip waffles.
Stroopwafels. Syrup waffles.
Stroopwafels.
Yeah, very nice.
See, that's the Amsterdam I know, not the crime-ridden one that we're talking about.
I love that you think Amsterdam's an innocent, sweet place where people get
you
about.
You can picture all I've ever done there has gotten stoned out of my gourd.
A couple of prostitutes.
Stroopwafels and gone to see some Van Gogh. Really great when you're stoned, by the way. Suddenly it all makes sense. Oh my God. And the Van Gogh Museum there, they put it in chronological order of like when he started painting, and you're just like, oh my God, oh no.
Yeah, you
like
see
you just
it
go
unfold.
On this journey, like, oh man, turn back, look away. Crazy. Back to Tonda Dickerson. The Waffle House where she worked had a regular customer called Edward Seward. And on March 7th, 1999, hard to believe it was just 4 years ago, guys. Look at my shoes. Edward tipped Tonda something. Hint, it was not money.
Lottery ticket. Is it a lottery ticket?
Lottery ticket from an enthusiastic Katie. I love that you put your hand up. That was adorable.
I've been playing schools with my children.
So we've got lotto ticket from Katie. All right.
So not money.
Not money.
I'm going to go plane ticket.
Plane ticket?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bus ticket.
Yes, Katie.
Voucher for a haircut.
That would be such an insulting tip.
That's not a good tip.
Sort your shit out. Okay, Hannah.
Did he just tip his hat? Like a
tip his
oldie-worldie gentleman.
Yes, that is exactly what he did. Katie, you're correct.
Is it lottery ticket?
He tipped her a lotto ticket, which is what he always did. And as someone who used to waitress, can I just say, what a shitty ass tip.
Yeah.
That is. Like, I spent $2 on you, so you might win some money. And it is legal in the... Sorry, I'm just going to... This isn't funny. I'm just giving a little speech. It's legal to pay servers and bartenders below minimum wage because the government counts on them getting tipped. So they get paid nothing. So don't give a fucking lotto
boo.
Ticket. Boo! Aren't I just a social justice warrior? I'm so amazing in my jumpsuit. I'm changing lives. Your question is, what happened next?
Katie, is this a Nicolas Cage film or is that fiction?
I don't know.
There's a Nicolas Cage film where he tells...
Ghost Rider definitely happened.
Well, he tells a waitress he's going to split a lottery ticket with her or something.
Oh, and then it could happen to wins. You? Is that what
yes,
that film's
yes.
called?
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
But was that a true story or was that just a Nicolas Cage film?
Do you know what? I've never seen it, so you'll have to tell us if the plot
his
checks out.
His wife is not happy that he does it.
Oh, okay, but no.
Once they win.
Yes, otherwise it'd be a very short film.
Yeah, very
okay.
short.
So Katie's answer is a Nicolas Cage film is shot.
I've also seen that film as a Nicolas Cage aficionado.
Oh, yeah, you did. What was it called in lockdown that you guys were doing?
We called it The Isolation Cage. And we watched 60 Nick Cage films.
Did you?
Every Saturday night over Zoom.
I didn't know
group.
There were 60 Nick Cage films.
As a group. There's 99. Well, there's more than that now because every year he adds about 10.
What was the ratio of shit to acceptable?
Do you know what? No, it's either fucking Oscar-worthy or... fucking risible.
No
it's,
gray areas.
Yeah, there's no
nothing
sort
in
of,
between.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. I admire that.
Yeah, no, good for him. He's
be
amazing.
Extreme.
I came out of it thinking, you're incredible. Peggy Sue Got Married, you're not a fan?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a great, great film.
It is a good film, actually. That's one of his early ones, isn't it?
So I have no idea if this is, so far it doesn't sound like it's the same story, but we'll see. What do you think happened next? So we've got also Nicolas Cage film.
But also, I mean, obviously, it feels like she wins.
Yeah, she must have won. I mean, if nothing happened, it's a very shit episode of your podcast. So something must have happened.
Yes. Taylor just wants
was
to talk
it a
about
fake?
Waffles.
Was it a fake? Did she win? I think she that they won something and then it turned out to be a fake ticket and there was a whole legal case because it wasn't a real... There was a whole thing. So they thought she'd won.
Okay. See? Now we're getting a little colour. Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't win and you're all going to have to go home now. Sorry. I forget how to do this. She did win, of course. She won $10 million.
Whoa!
No one saw that coming. $10 million.
No one
saw that coming. It's still a nice twist.
Yeah.
So $10 million. But guys, this leads to so much drama for Tonda. The first issue that comes up was because of her job. So your next question is, why would this cause problems for Tonda as a waitress in particular?
Okay, so is she supposed to put it into the communal tip jar? So everybody's got $10 million. Is it that?
She just stuffs it into the jar. $1 million, $2 million. Okay, so it was expected
she has to share it.
Shared tips, okay. Another thing I don't believe in, paradoxically, just saying.
So you did say you are allowed to be paid a tip with a lottery ticket. That would be legal. That is legal tender for tips.
That's a good question.
Because
is it like stamps?
Yeah.
It is a good question. Yes. But hold on to that thought for later about the legality.
Oh, it's
going to
be a fun grey area, depending on who's in charge.
Oh, because maybe if you buy the lottery ticket, you're not meant to re-gift the thing. If you buy the lottery ticket, is it to do with that? That he wasn't supposed to...
Okay.
I see from your eyes, you're like, nice try, but no. Nothing to do.
Also, I'm not sure that, like, are there any laws about what you can tip? Surely you can just tip, like, an apple core if you wanted to. Yeah, right.
At least I
went
for unused fruit and vegetables. You went for a full used core.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you can, like, I like to tip a piece of advice. No, I don't, I can imagine. Like, do you know what I mean? But you could.
That is
no
a
one's
rich
gonna,
gift.
The police aren't going to come in and be like, no, don't live life, love, or whatever. Is that advice? I don't know. But
live life, love.
I don't, yeah, I feel like, wait, what was the question?
Why would it cause trouble?
Trouble for her as a waitress in particular.
It must be illegal, as a waitress in particular.
Yeah.
does she come from a long line of waffle makers? And she was going to let her generations of her family down if she quit this job, but she also has £10 million.
A long line of waffle makers at Waffle House.
Yeah.
The finest place for waffles. You guys, these are all very good thinking. Yeah. Hold on to that. Katie, you really were the closest.
Okay.
With this tip jar. It was more specific, though, because these, they were all women working at Waffle House because... Alabama. They always got tipped by this guy in lotto tickets, so allegedly, the waitresses had once agreed that if any of them ever won, they would split the winnings. But once Tonda suddenly had $10 million, she was like, suck my cold waffles, bitches.
Yeah.
Did not want to share, so four of her fellow waitresses sued her. Claiming that they'd made this oral contract.
Name me your sex tape.
That one's for you.
Oh, oral. My favorite kind of contract. But they said, this should be honored. We talked about this. We agreed this. The case does go to court. And I just like to picture, I don't think they have made a movie out of this yet, and I think they should, because I like to picture that Tonda shows up in court and she looks so much better than everybody else. So she just kind of struts in with like new stripy highlights and whatever, because it was the 90s. That's how you looked good. Plucked eyebrows, etc. So what do you think the outcome of the lawsuit was?
Oh.
I think it went in favor of her not having to share it because there was no proof there was ever a contract. Oral schmoral. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oral my fizzy schmoral. Water just bounced into my eye. Such a weird injury. Eye. That was crazy. Like a perfect drop of carbonation just went right into my eye.
I thought you were just emotional
like
about the case.
Normally it's my perimenopausal sweat, but tonight it's a whole different thing. And it's like lemon flavor, so it kind of hurts. I'm fine. Thanks for worrying.
Wait, so you're saying
I think she won
capitalism
the case.
Capitalism is about individuals.
I think she won the case because no one could prove there ever was a contract and it was all hers.
So I think opposite.
Okay.
I think sorority and sharing is a great message.
I agree it's a great message, but did that nasty sexist judge agree?
Well, the thing is, a nasty sexist judge doesn't want a rich woman, so he's going to make her at least share.
Yeah, five quite rich women is much better than one rich woman.
I will break you down into pieces.
At least she has less.
Hannah, what do you reckon?
I feel like maybe there's another lawsuit going on as well from Johnny Chit Tip.
Ooh, yeah.
Johnny Chit Tip. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because like he would be like, well, that money is mine. I was like joking when I gave it to you. It was a joke.
Yeah. Okay.
Surely. I mean, if
I accidentally left it on the table and you just assumed.
Yeah, give it back now. I've come back.
That was your tip.
Exactly. Like, I remember my friend, like, for my birthday, put a scratch card in a card. And I was like, I don't know that I want that. I think it would be, what happens if I win? Because I'm not sharing.
We're so, about to find out.
Yes. What would happen?
I think it's always a weird Wait, you did scratch it though, right? You didn't leave it.
No, I did scratch it. Yeah.
And?
Absolutely
nothing.
Fuck all.
Oh my God. The idea of an unscratched card could just, that keeps me awake at night. The idea of it just sitting
an
there like, what's
card.
Under there? An unscratched card. Name
That's
of my
like
sex
an uneaten, half-eaten chocolate bar. It's unnatural. There's something
it's
unnatural.
Just natural. So the argument was all about whether an oral contract between the co-workers was binding. Binding. Sorry. That's all I've got, people. And in the end, Tonda was ordered to share some of her winnings with the other staff. And the most important factor in this was that this old couple who had frequented the Waffle House claimed that they had overheard Tonda and the other waitresses talking about the agreement that they had made. So
the
they came in and testified.
Came diving in.
Yeah.
Don't trust old people.
They also did not want one
they
wealthy woman.
They are chatty motherfuckers.
Yeah. They have all the time to eavesdrop and go to court.
They do. They're going to tell
what
their
they
friends.
Live for. Yeah.
They need to boast about their grandkids and talk about what the waitress said.
There you go.
So Tonda decides, no, I don't want to pay up. So what does she do instead?
She's a feisty waffle maker.
She's a Dickerson if I've ever heard of one.
She's got loads of money now. She can run out the clock on everyone else's lawyers.
Yes, she can. So she decides she doesn't want to go along with it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does she abscond?
Okay.
An absconding waffle maker.
Yeah, I wonder, love the word does she abscond. Appeal the
I don't
verdict.
Use that enough. I'm so sorry, Katie. What?
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Female ways. Does she appeal?
Does she appeal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does she filibust, which also sounds like a great waffle?
I would try that.
It sounds like it's got everything on it.
Totally.
It's definitely got cheese.
And you can't stop talking about it. I don't know if you're even allowed to, thank you, if you're even allowed to filibust in lawyer, I was about to say, in court, fucking hell. Can you filibust in court?
I think there's some law. I feel like we did a case where someone, they finally put something in place because he just talked for like 16 hours. Didn't we do a case?
That sounds familiar.
Where somebody tried to?
Aren't they allowed to like every 2 hours wee or something?
I don't know. That's
just... Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
These are all brilliant answers. She does appeal the ruling, of course, but she also starts funneling the money into a family business that she sets up quickly.
It's like that Captain Tom people with the swimming.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes! Yes! Oh shit!
Oh my God.
Captain Tom written all over it.
Captain Tom precursor.
You don't think Captain Tom was at that table, do you?
He was the one in court saying they all agreed to share it. Then he mysteriously died.
So in 2000, just a year later and 3 years ago, another judge overturns the ruling on the basis that the waitress's deal was a form of illegal gambling. Strange argument.
The twists and the turns.
And this is still an Alabama judge.
Yes, this is all in Alabama.
Is gambling illegal in Alabama?
It is, but okay. It's weird because lotto tickets...
You can play
tickets,
the lottery, though.
Exactly.
Okay. They're legal.
But that's like a state-sanctioned gambling,
right? The state
right?
gets the money, it's fine.
Yeah. So this was in no way the end of Tonda's troubles, I'm afraid, to report. Someone else had beef with her winning... Who was it?
It's what Hannah said.
It's
and now Callie said.
It's what you all said or thought. You're all winning.
Nicolas Cage has come back.
Yes. He was always going to have to come back.
Yeah. Edward Seward, who had given the ticket, suddenly said, hey, wait a minute. We had an agreement too.
Wait, remember? Did he wait until the appeal? So he went through all of those years?
He watched all of this happen over a year.
Oh my God. He slow played this whole fuckery.
Wow. Very slow. Well, he saw, I actually have a chance of winning if this goes.
He's watching
to court.
Where the wind blows.
He's watching where the wind blows with the women. So, what had they allegedly agreed? That's the first question. What did he claim Tonda and he had agreed?
Well, so, in the Nicolas Cage film, it will be 20 years ago that I saw this, but I think what they agreed, he didn't have cash, he couldn't give her a tip, and he felt really bad. So he was giving her the lottery ticket.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, I'm really sorry. Or maybe he was even going to, I'm going to come back with the lottery ticket or something. And he was like, oh, we'll split this 50-50 in the Nicolas Cage film.
Okay.
So I'm going to go 50-50.
Oh, okay. They had agreed to split the money straight up. Okay. Interesting.
I've misquoted the film and I apologize.
I saw
sorry,
it like
Nick.
A year ago and I can't remember. So,
a lot has happened to you this year.
Exactly.
It's absolutely fair.
I mean, that seems like the logical thing. That's if I was going to lie about it, I would say 50-50.
Yeah, because what else can you say? Yeah.
I'll give you guys a hint. He claimed that she had agreed to buy him something specific.
A waffle?
A $10 million house. Yes.
$10 million house.
Yeah.
Okay. Katie, any advance on that?
So he's saying the deal is that she was going to buy him something.
Yeah.
A gold tooth.
A gold tooth.
Exactly.
Who's Edward Seward now? Amazing. This is just the most Alabama answer ever. He said that she was going to buy him a truck.
Wait, how much is this truck? He's bothering to sue a 10 millionaire person.
It could have been one of those monster trucks that are worth a lot of money.
A monster truck.
What's a truck worth?
In 2000?
Yeah.
$27,000?
Is that seriously his best way to get a truck?
Like, I know.
What is his real motivation here?
Well, it's almost like he was trying it on. He's like, what's a truck to her? So I might actually win this. So your next question is, what happened legally on the back of this, of Edward suing?
I think the judge would just feel like, that is so pathetic that I'm going to let him have it. Because like, he must be so gutted. His life, like, if I'd given away a lottery ticket that was £10 million as a tip,
yeah,
I would just be like, I would get in that van and drive off a cliff. I imagine is what that man was planning to do, because you cannot live with yourself. That, I love that. You cannot live with that level of generosity. You cannot live with it.
Oh, my God. So I've just remembered, in the real film... the real film! What he does is he...
Unlike this fake story.
I have an answer, but... No, I just want to clarify so I don't, like, get tweets. X's. What he does is he shows her the lottery ticket and he says, if I win, I'll come back and we'll share it. And then, so he takes it away, but then he wins, and his wife's like, oh my God, we won. And then he goes, I'm so sorry, we have to share this with the waitress.
Yes.
Oh.
And then that's the whole thing. But in answer to your question...
Did they end up together as a couple as well?
Yeah, the waitress is smoking hot.
Because,
wow.
And you know what? His wife was mean and greedy because she wanted her own money.
Wow. What a surprising Hollywood storyline.
But I think what happens is, because his claim is so small in the grand scheme of things,
yeah.
And also he's a man, so he has the authority gap working in his favor, I think he gets granted it, but this sets the precedent for a slew of people to go, oh, by the way, she also promised me a diamond. Oh, by the way, she also promised me this.
Oh, okay.
And then I think it's the death by a million paper cuts. What's that called? Is it just...
I think it's called death by a million paper cuts.
Death by a thousand cuts. Thank you.
Death by a thousand trucks.
I think, yes. Yes. I think
very nice.
This is exactly what happened. That
okay.
is my answer.
I love all that. Do you know what? Hannah was kind of the closest in that the judge...
What did I say?
Suicide by truck.
He's pathetic.
Oh, okay.
But his ruling is, he just says, get out of my court. This is ridiculous.
Oh, my God, he doesn't win.
I like the judge for that, don't you? Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But possibly, because it would set a precedent, like endless people could just come into Chanda's life and demand that she give something. And guys, that's exactly what happens next.
Oh no, though he doesn't win.
Yeah, somebody else from Tonda's past shows up. Who was
they're
that?
They're all trying it on.
Who is pissed that Tonda is rich?
A past boss, maybe?
The head of the
Waffle House.
Her school bully.
The school bully. Oh my God. This is where it ends. That's what school bullies are like in my head. They're not really. They don't just punch their hand.
I feel like maybe some siblings or something. I feel like...
Oh, okay. Family.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I only mentioned them very briefly at the beginning.
The
it was
old
her
people.
Ex-husband.
Oh, yes, because you said second husband.
Ooh,
you left a little Easter egg there for us, and we did not see it.
Yes. I'm pretty clever. I am officially... partially clever. So her ex-husband shows up, and it's really low blow to make fun of somebody's name, but his name is Stacy Martin.
Aww.
And it's just too cute to not point out. Like, it sounds like the fucking head of the Babysitters Club or something. Stacy Martin, you owe me money. So he's really, really pissed that she has this money. He has no claim to it whatsoever, but what does he do to try to get some money from her?
Does he claim they never got divorced?
Ooh.
Like that he never signed the papers and that legally they were still...
And she's a bigamist.
She's a bigamist.
Ooh.
or that she owed him something else, so she was meant to give him something else first time around, like half of the house, and she never did. Ooh. So now he's allowed half of this because she didn't give him half of that.
Yeah. Also, bigamist, another great waffle.
Tasty dish.
I would try so the bigamist.
Two filibusters, one bigamist. Oh, that's amazing. He's a little bit more basic than that, guys. He kidnaps Tonda.
Whoa! Well, now I see why he's the ex-husband.
Hello!
Yeah.
Crime just escalated. He kidnaps her, drives her to a remote boat jetty, and holds her at gunpoint.
Wow.
Although, to be fair, that's how you ask a woman out in Alabama. Do you want to or not? So, Tonda's being held at gunpoint on a remote jetty. What happens next?
Does it involve a crocodile?
Does it
involve
what?
A crocodile?
And a watch.
A force majeure, yes.
Oh, if
yeah,
only.
A crocodile, a golden watch, and a truck.
I would watch that Nicolas Cage film if a crocodile just came up and ate him.
Wait, why has Nicolas Cage never played Captain Hook? What are
yet.
We even doing?
Yeah.
That is a great question.
Okay. I'm sure he will.
Oh, of course he will.
Eventually. Yeah.
It's inevitable.
What happens next?
I think she had the scratch card in her breast pocket and he shot her and it didn't go through.
And it was...
Maybe it's that.
The old bulletproof winning lotto ticket that you hold on to. I love it. Katie, any thoughts before I reveal?
So she's on a jetty.
Yeah.
He's got a gun at her.
Yep.
But she's a millionaire now.
Yep. So she's like bulletproof?
I thought that was how it worked. Has she used some of the money to train in martial arts and she kind of just matrixes?
Yeah.
That's a word. She matrixes her way out. She just kind of does slow motion. He tries to shoot and she escapes. Is it that?
You're actually right.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Not that she had trained. I don't think so. But she disarms him.
Oh! Yes!
She deserves all that money. This is a wily
she's
woman.
She's sick of his shit.
Yes. She's a fucking badass.
She's a badass. Yeah.
She disarms him and shoots him in the chest.
Oh, Tonda!
You guys! No! This is true crime. We don't celebrate murder.
So she's a murdering multi-millionaires.
She doesn't murder him, to be
fair. Can we just take a moment to repeat it that our audience celebrated?
Yeah.
That women's rights here. Is that right?
Maybe support their wrongs.
Exactly. That is feminism.
It is.
Also,
he didn't even die.
He didn't even die. Also, but there's no denying that, like, I've always thought to myself, like, if I had to, why would I have to? But if I had to shoot someone to, like, get away from them, there's, like, a place that you could, there's places where you can shoot them, but you won't kill them. Because I don't want to kill someone, but I'd want to get away.
Yeah, he can.
I'd go for the groin.
The groin?
I'd always go for the groin.
But, like, she can't deny that.
I'm pretty sure that could kill somebody.
Nah, they'd be fine.
Depends on the size of their Dickerson. Hey-o! Hey!
We celebrate all sorts here.
if this is your first time here, please come back. It's a lot of fun. So, no, he doesn't even die. He's rushed to hospital. He survives, but he leaves her the fuck alone after that. But next question, what charges are pressed as a result of this kidnapping and then shooting incident?
Oh, no, $10 million worth of damages to his chest.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, she's going to go to jail.
Oh, because he'll have lost his income as
income
a whatever he
as
did.
Chest model.
Yeah, chest model. Truck driving chest model.
Another one down. Always sad to see. In very, very Alabama form, I'm trying not to throw Alabama under the bus, but it kind
of
it's
not coming out of it well. It's not coming out of it well.
There are no charges filed on either side.
wow.
They're very loosey-goosey over there, aren't they?
And wow. I don't know why that is. I don't know if they just agreed, like, should we call it even? Like,
so a kidnap, you know, versus an attempted murder.
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
You know what it
should
is?
We just call
it's
it a day.
You don't come for rich people. Because they have better lawyers than the police.
Yeah, but the guy who kidnapped her wasn't a rich person, so the kidnapping...
No, but they're not going to come for her. So the charges would be pressed against her. She shot him, right?
But he kidnapped her.
So, but what was...
I say potato, you say.
Was the question...
She could have pressed for kidnapping charges, pressed, but also doesn't.
And he could have pressed, but doesn't.
He definitely could have... Yeah, I mean...
So nobody presses...
It could be considered self-defense, but it would be, you'd be worried if you managed to disarm somebody and then shoot them in the chest. It's very Thelma and Louise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, suck my dick. I didn't need to act it out. Suck my dick. We can't leave it on suck my dick, guys. We just can't. This is not actually the end of Tonda's story either. There's yet more drama. But I just wish this would be turned into a country song. I just need to break. Wouldn't it be the best? I don't know if anybody has Carrie Underwood's Details. Great. I started to write it. Do you want to hear it? Tonda had the winning lotto ticket. When they asked to share, she told them where to stick it. See? It's the ballad of the scorned waffle waitress. Still working on it.
Very good.
It's good. Thank you very much. Do you know what you should never do on this podcast? It was my birthday last week. Thank you. Yay. And Hannah put up on the socials, like, what's been your favorite Taylor moment? It's the worst thing you can do because I, like, have self-esteem now. And I'm so full of myself. And somebody said, like, I love when you sing. It's so good. I'm like, I wasn't going to put a musical number into this, but then I did.
More music.
This is the last thing that happens to Tonda. She faces another legal issue with regards to her winnings. I have planted the seed of what that might be. What do you think happens? That she has yet another appearance in court and some trouble.
Okay, we've done the waitresses, we've done the ex-husband. It's got to be either the boss or the current husband.
I think I clocked onto this. You very, like, vaguely said something about a business that she set up with her family.
Oh no!
Yeah. Okay.
It's the family. I think Hannah's right.
Hannah, you've been doing this for too long.
Yeah,
She's right. So she funneled money into what she thought was a legal business.
Oh no, it's Captain Tom, like Callie said.
But she wasn't properly paying taxes on it.
Oh, she was a lawbreaker all round, wasn't she?
She's just a little lawbreaker. So your last question, no, sorry, second to last question, penultimate, as you say in a fancy, fancy way. Your penultimate question is, how much money was Tonda ordered to pay in back taxes?
Oh, $10 million and $1.
Yeah. $10 million and $1 Dalmatians. Okay.
Oh, that would be very upsetting. I mean, she can't need to pay that much in taxes. Is some of this a penalty? Like, is there a fine involved? Is it just the taxes, or is it...
I'm trying to remember what I read and how they came up with this very specific figure.
Oh.
And I can't remember.
Okay.
It's definitely back taxes, so I think, yeah, there was some interest added to it. And it's just, yeah, it's just a bit of fun guessing a number. Who doesn't like to guess a number?
But it's also like, did the state of Alabama try to put a waffle waitress back in her box?
Right.
And I feel like they would try and do that.
Yeah.
So I'm worried it's going to be high.
Okay.
So I'm going to go $8 million.
$8 million. Wow. Okay. Somebody said $10 million and $1.
$10 million and $1.
We'll stick with that.
Yep.
Okay. Price is right, Hannah.
$100 billion.
Good guess.
Scotch.
Yeah, exactly.
Scotch. Okay. Am I?
I watched that again recently. It's very funny.
It still holds up so well. Austin Powers. I love that film.
Oh, like people didn't get the bloody brilliant impression.
It's mostly down to the impression. So I just want to say the number because it's so terribly specific. It was $1,119,347.90.
Oh, that's fine. She can do that.
It's fine. Easy. She can do that. And actually, Tonda split all of the money with her family. She looked after everybody. She is still alive today. Imagine someone in the 90s.
Wow.
Still being alive today. She's in an old folks' home.
It's crazy.
No, so your last question is, Tonda is still working. What is her job?
Inspirational speaker.
Yeah.
Inspirational speaker. Very good. Just like Callie should be. Steal and steal again.
Steal and pay your crime forward. I think she's still in catering in some capacity.
Okay.
So maybe she moved across from waffles to pancakes. And nice. She runs.
She works at an IHOP.
Yeah.
She only works one day a year.
Yeah.
I love that.
She has a podcast from the
she
audience.
She should have a podcast. We would love to have her on the podcast.
Yeah, she'd be good. Or at least her own Netflix series. I mean, I'd want to watch this, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
We pitch a lot of shows on this.
Yeah.
And they've made Griselda. I'm not saying they ripped that off. But we covered that case, like, what, 3 years ago? And suddenly it's a Netflix.
You need to go to court in Alabama, see what you can achieve.
Yeah, we do.
Where's our royalties?
Let's take down Netflix.
Yes.
That'll go well.
Did she like retrain as a lawyer or something? Because sometimes when people have a lot of lawyery based things.
Sarah Erin Brockovich kind
of
thing.
Yes, she kind of. She's Brockovich.
She's learned. Yeah.
I watched that. Like when I first had the baby, I started going through. It's a good movie, isn't it?
She was very alert for someone with a small baby, though. She was very on the money with everything. I was like, I was not stringing sentences.
No, I did not
together like that.
It's a third kid. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Lawyer, yeah.
No, it's good. It's lovely conversation. Has everyone answered? Because I've forgotten the answer.
Pancake
so
house.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Lawyer, head of a pancake house.
She's actually a poker dealer.
Oh!
Of course she is.
At a casino in Biloxi, Mississippi. Dare to dream. It could be you.
Wow.
Very, well, let's raise a glass to Tonda Dickerson.
Yeah. Tonda!
Bit of a badass. Oh, wow, the bartenders are lit up like The Shining. That's really creepy. Look at that.
Mr. Torrance.
That's amazing.
Sorry, it's just also, I just look, I always think it looks like a bit of a, like a dick back there as well.
It does. Yeah.
It does, just like with really long balls.
Yeah, wolf balls.
If we
stare at that all night.
Our tagline is like, if we can, we'll bring a dick into it.
Oh, thank you for putting the house lights
are up to make you feel self-conscious. It's time for one of you to come up and share a crime for the official sponsor of Drunk Women, Kava. Come on up. Hey, come on up. Give her a round of applause. Thank you for coming up. What's your name?
I'm Biz.
Hi, Biz. That's such an awesome name.
Thank you.
Can you please share your story?
I can. So, I've only discovered today the true, like, what actually happened.
Ooh! I love it. Fresh crime.
I'm with my sister, she told me. And I can't be, I'm not quite sure if it's a funny crime or not, but basically, when I was, like, it must have been before I was, like, 6 years
old. Oh, God. Okay.
We lived in a house in Stoke Newington, so of course we had a doll house, as you do. And one day we got robbed and the doll house went missing.
An entire doll's house?
Okay. Yeah.
But that's the only thing. That's the only thing that went missing was the doll house.
Just the doll's house?
Did. Yeah.
So was it like a historic doll's house?
The thing is, I don't know, because I know my grandparents had a really nice dollhouse, but I think ours was a bit shit in comparison, so I don't know why any robber would want it.
Okay.
Anyway.
But your house was forcibly broken into.
Well, I was younger than 5, so I don't know.
You're not, okay, you can't remember, but somebody definitely came into the house and only took the dollhouse.
They took the dollhouse, and then, like, a couple days or something later, they returned the dollhouse.
What?
Callie!
Sorry. But it was a better doll's house I brought back.
It It was a doll's house that was locked to itself.
You could pedal backwards.
That is bizarre. Sorry, how is it returned? Like left on the front stoop? Like
it just came back to where it was. And for years,
was it haunted?
Well, for years I've told this story and I've no idea what happened.
But now you have closure. Oh my God, what is it?
And then before we came here, we were having dinner and I was talking about it to my sister. And it turns out it didn't get stolen. The bailiffs came.
Oh my God. That is amazing.
And you started this with, I'm not sure if this is a funny story.
It's brilliant.
Well, I'm sorry to my mum, because she doesn't know I'm saying this.
Hopefully she's not a fan.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Sorry, so for bailiffs to come and repossess something, that means it was super valuable.
But it definitely wasn't, because it wasn't that nice of a dollhouse, was it?
Also, the idea of those bailiffs getting back to the office. We got old fucking house. Oh, yes.
Look at the little tub.
Yeah, go on.
She's in there right now having a bath.
Bailiffs will take anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Holy shit. And why was it kept a secret? Was it just like you're the youngest and it's like just let her think it was a nice little robbery. Just let her think somebody invaded the home and took something precious.
I have no idea. I mean, I only found out tonight, so I'm gonna have to go home and ask my mum.
Is sister here?
She is.
Why was it kept from her, please? Oh my gosh, so you've just had this like memory come back to you.
It might be a deep family secret.
I love this.
Not anymore.
That is love amazing. This.
And if nothing else, it's another Nick Cage film.
The Doll's House.
Thank you so much, Biz.
You
are very much in that. Thank you.
That's
an amazing story.
That is such an amazing story.
God, I'm thinking of all the things that went missing when I was a kid now, and I'm like,
I feel we've tainted childhoods, bicycles, dolls' houses, all the sweet, innocent things.
I know.
Not anymore.
I'm not the same woman I was at the beginning of this. And I can say that about every one of the 300 episodes that we have done. So, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. We've just enough time to ask Callie Beaton, what are you up to? Where can we find you? What would you like to plug?
I will be under a bridge stealing bicycles. So I have the Namaste Motherfuckers podcast.
You do.
Namaste Motherfuckers.
Probably the best name podcast.
There you go.
That's from us, guys.
So, so I'm doing, that is going up a storm, and I'm writing a book that ties into the podcast.
Nice.
So for the next, yes. Someone is paying me to write a book, which means the guilt one finds for procrastinating and not writing a word is exacerbated by the fact that one needs to do it for one's earnings. So, yes, I am going to...
Why don't you just steal somebody else's?
I'm going to steal a book. Listen, I invented ChatGPT just so this book would fucking write itself. So the book will be written by the end of the summer and it will be out next year. And then I'm going to be doing like a tour that's like a sort of book... TED Talky. I'm going to milk this Namaste motherfucking brand. There's nothing in it.
What is the premise of Namaste Motherfuckers?
Can you tell us a bit more about it?
The premise of Namaste Motherfuckers is it's the only podcast where the worlds of comedy, work, and well-being collide. And it comes from the fact that I spent many years sitting in boardrooms before in my late 40s I reinvented to become a comedian. And it's all the kind of life lessons from that and added to it in the book is the fact that it's a kind of manifesto for empowering women, in particular midlife women. My son is an autistic zookeeper and he has introduced me to loads of amazing feminist animals, so feminist role models in the animal kingdom. So the book is also underpinned by these amazing things like masturbating bonobos and galloping pregnant giraffes, and I'm telling you, you're never going to have read a book like it.
Oh my God, I love it.
Will the book have the same title as the podcast?
Yes, so it's Namaste. Fantastic. We were going to call it Be More Orca because orcas reach their power when they are postmenopausal.
Oh my God.
So yeah, they lead the orca pods and it's their wisdom that is most revered.
So I wanted to
call it Be More Orca, but then my clever literary agent said, do the Namaste Motherfuckers Christmas tie-in and then do Be More Orca. So it's going to have a lighter sprinkling of autistic animal wisdom than it would have had.
Okay.
But although, you know, my son's got involved now. He likes detail. So there's a lot of information being given to me.
Can you ask you about, like, meerkats? I feel like meerkats are incels. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just think of all the animal kingdom. They're the, like, the little
fuckers. I don't
fuckers.
Think they're feminist.
No, they don't feel
type.
Feminist, man.
No.
You must hate
not.
Compare the market.
I do.
Yeah. This He's never mentioned a meerkat favorably.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it. So, well, yeah,
one of the most sexist animals of the
this
animal
This is like
kingdom.
The new anthropomorphization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo!
Easy
yeah,
for you to say. But yeah, it's basically a stereotype busting, challenging kind of. It's about having ambition, and because, you know, people say you can't reinvent in midlife. I gave up my day job at 50 to start doing comedy properly. It is not my last reinvention. My life's an absolute fucking hot mess, but it's my hot mess.
Yeah.
And everybody, everybody is entitled to the same.
Please let me know when I can pre-order that. Namaste, motherfuckers, by Callie Beaton once more. Callie Beaton! You guys, that is all from us. If you've learned nothing else, do not tip waitresses with lotto tickets. It goes tits up, as you guys say. It's just tits up, pear-shaped. Thank you so much. It is lovely to be back performing. Just in case you haven't gotten the memo, we are actually changing venues for the rest of our London residency. We will be back at the lovely Museum of Comedy from next month. We have managed to keep all of the dates that were booked here the same, bar one, and that is April, which now falls on a Saturday. So check the dates. They're all on our website, and we hope to see you again. If you just came here on a whim to check us out, thank you so much. Hope it wasn't too weird, but cults are always uncomfortable at the beginning until the brainwashing actually happens. Thank you so much. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.